Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. We're back today here with another episode for you. Those of you that are still interested in listening to the podcast, we have something fun today. Well, it's comic books. It's always fun. We're going to talk about Ant-Man today. Ant-Man movie coming out. There's a number one put out. So we're going to talk about that. Don't know much about Ant-Man. We'll see what we could put together, see what we could learn together. Hopefully you guys will be able to give me some information. Maybe I'll give you some information because there's lots of things I don't know about Ant-Man. Also on this episode, we got a little movie review. This movie came out a while ago. The next movie that's going to be coming out is from DC is Throne of Atlantis. We're going to review Batman Assault on Arkham.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you're trying to kill me.
I know it's been out a while, but I finally saw it a few weeks ago. Wanted to put it on the episode. Haven't been able to do it. But here today, we're going to talk about it a bit. And see what we thought. And so here we go, guys. Let's get the show started.
Scott, I've been watching you for a while now. You're different. Now, don't let anyone tell you that you have nothing to offer. Second chances don't come around all that often. I suggest you take a really close look at it. This is your chance to earn that look in your daughter's eyes, to become the hero that she already thinks you are. It's not about saving our world. It's about saving theirs. Scott, I need you to be the Ant-Man.
Huh.
To change the name.
All right, so there we go. There's the Ant-Man trailer. Are you excited for Ant-Man? Or can you not wait to see Ant-Man? If you are, you just might be a Marvel fan and just love everything Marvel does. Marvel puts out good stuff, so I'm pretty sure Ant-Man will be pretty awesome. My thing with this trailer is that it didn't grasp me. It didn't pull me in. It didn't make me excited for Ant-Man. Now, don't get me wrong. I am excited for Ant-Man. I can't wait to see it. But if this trailer would have been the first thing I saw for Ant-Man, I would have been like, all right. Like, I guess it might be cool. It might be all right. I just didn't think that the trailer was very exciting. If you remember a few years back, maybe 2-3 years ago, from San Diego Comic-Con, they released some test footage for Ant-Man. We get the scene of this hallway. There's two guards blocking this doorway. And then they're facing an elevator down the hallway. The elevator door opens. There's nobody in the elevator. The two guards are kind of looking at each other like, what the heck? And then the camera zooms into the floor and there's this little ant-sized man, Ant-Man, running. Just running down the hallway. Obviously, the guards can't see him. Ant-Man then goes up. He makes himself human size, regular size. And he's still running. The guards see him. They draw their guns, point him at Ant-Man. Ant-Man goes back to ant size. You see him running across the barrel of the gun, punches the guard in the face, takes the other guard down. I think after he punches the guard, the first guard in the face, he goes back to human size, takes the other guard out, walks into the elevator, that the guards were protecting. The elevator doors start to close. Ant-Man goes back to ant size. Elevator closes. End of the test footage. That right there, that footage is what got me excited for Ant-Man. I was like, man, that was really, really cool. And I think that would have been a good first trailer if, I don't know if that footage is in the movie or not. Might not be, just because there's been a lot of changes with Ant-Man. The whole director change, you know, all kinds of things that went on. But I think when I saw that, I was like, man, heck yeah, that is awesome. Which is what I was missing from this trailer that got released. I just, like I said, didn't feel there was anything exciting. But so I guess I'll have to wait till the second trailer to see if there's anything in there that gets me excited for Ant-Man again. Now, I do like Paul Rudd. It's kind of cool to see him playing Ant-Man. Hopefully, they don't have him doing too much comedy. I mean, I guess it'd be funny. I just don't want them to, like, overdo it, you know? Paul Rudd's a funny guy. You know, he says at the end of the trailer, is it too late to change the name? So is he going to be a funny guy, I guess? And also one thing I wanted to talk about is Hank Pym. I always thought Hank Pym was Ant-Man. I never knew there was other Ant-Mans. I'm not too familiar with Ant-Man. I just known him from what I've read in like Avengers and stuff like that. And the stories that I did read where he was in Avengers, it was Hank Pym. I never knew there was other Ant-Man. In the trailer we see Hank Pym is an old dude. He's played by Michael Douglas, and Ant-Man is gonna be Scott Lang, which is the character Paul Rudd is playing. So that was new to me. And in the movie we see Hank Pym asking Scott Lang, hey, you know, can you help me out? Or not help me out, but trying to recruit him to be an Ant-Man. That was one thing I noticed different from the comic book that I read, which is this Ant-Man number one that Marvel put out. I don't know if they put it out last weekend. I kind of just saw yesterday. I was at a filming of another podcast, a comic book podcast called Drinking with Comics, and I saw that somebody was grabbing this issue, and I was like, hey, I should probably pick that up. Read it last night, and let me read to you the opening page. Ant-Man. When Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, retired from the job, another man rose to the occasion, stole the costume. None other than Scott Lang. His somewhat sordid past behind him, Scott took on the size-changing and communicating abilities of Ant-Man. So on here, I read that Ant-Man stole the costume, actually. He needed his daughter. In the comic, his daughter was sick. She had a heart condition. He needed to, I'm assuming, make money. They really don't get into it. He needed to make money, so he stole the Ant-Man costume, was stealing stuff. I would assume selling it to pay the bills, because it looks like Ant-Man. Scott Lang is kind of down on his luck. Like, he has issues, and it could be to his past because he used to be a thief. And he says it over and over in the comic book that he's not a thief anymore. It's funny because I kind of was able to relate to the Scott Lang character in this book. But yeah, so it says that he stole the suit. Later on, Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, found out and told him he could keep it. That he just said, hey, you know, go ahead, keep it. This is probably more stuff I have to read into, probably older stories. But in the book, Hank Pym, at least they made it look in this panel that we have here, where Hank Pym told him to keep it. Let me look for it here. It's around here somewhere. I think I already passed it. We get a little Iron Man also in this issue, this comic book. Here it is. Hank Pym, the guy who built the Ant-Man stuff, showed up and told me I could keep the suit. And this was after Scott Lang did something. He went to save somebody. I forgot. Well, I'm really bad at this. I forgot who it was. He went to save... Let's see, but I had one, a reason, a good one this time. I've got a daughter, Cassie, and back then she was pretty sick with a heart condition. And there was this doctor, Erica Sondheim, who seemed like maybe she could fix her. Oh, okay. But the doctor was kidnapped and Scott Lang went to help her out, went to grab her. After that, Hank Pym, the guy who built the Ant-Man stuff, showed up and told me I could keep the suit. The only thing here is Hank Pym is kind of wearing a different suit. He's wearing another like superhero suit. And it looks like the Wasp, which is it Wasp? I don't think it's Wasp. I know he's going to be the villain in the movie. I don't know his name, but it seems like that's the suit that Hank Pym is wearing in this issue. So I know Hank Pym's not a villain. At least I'm thinking he's not a villain. In the Ant-Man comic books, so did his suit, did that other suit get stolen? I forgot the guy's name. Oh my God, I wish I could, but you guys know, he's going to be the villain in the movie, but that's the suit. Cause I know Wasp, I think Wasp is Ant-Man's like current woman or Hank Pym's wife or something like that. From what I remember. So yeah. But anyways, if you guys want to pick up this Ant-Man number one issue, go check out your local comic book stores and pick it up. You kind of get a little backstory on Scott Lang. He's been in Avengers. He's worked with Fantastic Four. And in this issue, he's trying to get a job with Stark Industries. It's funny because... Iron Man comes out, Tony Stark, and he's like, you know what, dude? He's like, you can't get this job. He's like, you're unreliable. You disappear. You don't stay still in one job. You move from place to place. And so Ant-Man's like, come on, dude. Like, I could do it. But I'll let you guys read the issue for yourself, and you guys could see a little bit about Ant-Man. This issue, I believe, it was okay. Like, it was good. It wasn't super exciting. Kind of like the same vibe I got from the trailer. It just, they were both, the trailer and this first issue were on the same level for me. Nothing super exciting. It was just cool that I got to learn a little bit about Ant-Man and find out that Hank Pym is not the only Ant-Man and he's not Ant-Man anymore. I will probably be trying to look into more Ant-Man, see if there's any good Ant-Man stories out there that we could read. And try to review that stuff. But yeah, so not too much. I guess we're just going to have to learn a little bit more about Ant-Man as we go, as the movie gets closer. Maybe I could read more stuff. But yeah, so Ant-Man, guys, are you excited for it? Are you looking forward to it? Are you not looking forward to it? Are you tired of Marvel movies? Do you love Marvel movies? What do you think about the actors that are playing in this movie? Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, the villain, I forget the villain's name. Oh, I can't believe I forgot the name. But yeah, so guys, go on over to my Facebook, facebook.com/the MCM, and let me know what you guys think.
Assemble Task Force X. We have another suicide mission.
Yahtzee!
Joker stole a dirty bomb and hid it somewhere in Gotham.
Telling me where it is.
Now!
Aren't you even going to say hello?
If I didn't know better, I'd say you're trying to kill me.
It's time for a very big bang!
Something's wrong in Arkham.
Getting out alive without me?
Just like that.
Batman Assault on Arkham, directed by Jay Oliva and Ethan Spalding. The film is set in the universe of the Batman Arkham video game franchise, occurring after Arkham Origins, even though Jay Oliva states that it takes place about 2 years before Arkham Asylum. The story focuses primarily on the Suicide Squad, particularly Batman villains Deadshot and Harley Quinn, with Batman and Joker, I would say, in a supporting role. There's actually quite a few people in the supporting roles. In the film, a Suicide Squad of six criminals is dispatched by Amanda Waller, and the criminals are Black Spider, Captain Boomerang, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Killer Frost, KG Beast, and King Shark. Some of these I'm not too familiar with, like Black Spider, KG Beast, and King Shark. Pretty much Amanda Waller dispatches this group to break into Arkham Asylum, where they must contend with the asylum's inmates and Batman as they attempt to complete their mission. I don't want to spoil too much of the movie for you, but I do want to talk about the Suicide Squad a little bit. It's a team that I'm not too familiar with, and obviously they come out in this movie. We meet them in this movie, and I honestly didn't know about the Suicide Squad until the New 52 stuff. And the New 52 stuff, you get villains like Black Manta, Deadshot, Deathstroke, Joker's daughter, and Harley Quinn. In the beginning, even Deathstroke was on the team. Haven't read too much about it. I just read kind of some tie-ins that were into some story arcs that I was reading. So that's the New 52, the new Suicide Squad. If we go back to when Suicide Squad first came out, the original appearance was in The Brave and the Bold number 25, and this was back in September of 1959. I guess they've had quite a few appearances even in more modern times. They were in Legends number 3, January of 1987. So, like I said, I'm not too familiar on the Suicide Squad. I'm actually anxious to learn more about it, though. It'd be cool to read some of the older stuff. Because we do have a lot of Suicide Squad going on. Suicide Squad came out in the Arrow series, the TV show, if you're watching Arrow. And we saw Deadshot was there. Black Claw. Who else? A few others. Just Deadshot's kind of like the main one that comes to me, and they kind of show like a Harley Quinn type girl. We don't know if it is Harley Quinn, but they kind of showed her like in the background. She wasn't part of the team that actually went out to do the things, but they had the similar thing where Amanda Waller had like bombs implanted into the back of their necks. So if they tried to go rogue or take off on the team, the villains, Amanda Waller would just pretty much blow up their head. So that's kind of the way she kept them in check. So I'm curious to see if this is the way it was in The Brave and the Bold issue number 25 from back in 1959. I wonder if they had the same type of way of keeping them in check, keeping the villains in check, or you know, curious. So I'm kind of would like to look into that. I'm sure a lot of people will start looking more into the Suicide Squad because we have DC mentioned a movie that will be released. They've mentioned that they're gonna have Harley Quinn. And even got an actress for her, and she's—I couldn't tell you the name right now, but she is the woman that played in the female role of The Wolf on Wall Street, she was the wife, the blonde girl. And there's been all other rumors, even rumors of Jared Leto coming in as the Joker. And like we mentioned, the Joker plays a kind of supporting role in this movie. And we see different Joker styles throughout these DC movies. This one, my favorite one, I've got to say so far, has been the one from Red Hood. But this one, I really enjoyed this Joker. He looked, the look on his face, it might have been the way he was drawn. He just looked like Psycho. It was, I enjoyed him. I really enjoyed him in this movie. The things that he would say, his actions, you know, him getting jealous of Harley Quinn. Why was he jealous? I'm not going to say. I'll leave that up for you guys to see. And I got to say, something else that they did in this movie is it felt like they kind of were trying to push the envelope a little. We had Harley Quinn and we had Killer Frost nude in a couple of scenes, not fully. I mean, like, they weren't showing anything, obviously, because it's an animation. I'm sure they don't want, you know, the kids seeing these characters nude, but they kind of hinted at it. They even hinted at Harley Quinn and Deadshot getting it on. So I was kind of surprised to see that. And there was a lot of bad words dropped in the movie. Also, we heard asshole. We heard all kinds of things. Even Killer Frost was flipping some of the Gotham policemen off. So it was crazy because I feel like it's kind of like the first time that I've seen a DC movie do this. So I wonder what other people's reaction were to this, or if they even noticed. I mean, this is at least the first time I noticed. So I was kind of like, whoa, like it seems like they're kind of trying to push the envelope, trying to really see how far they could go. I'm even surprised that they showed somebody's head getting blown off, because I've heard what are they called? Director commentaries talk. And he says that a lot of times he has to be aware of the type of violence that he shows on there, because he might get blocked by the censors. And so to see that the head get blown off, that was pretty, I was surprised. I didn't think they were actually going to show it. I thought they were going to, you know, kind of pan away and show like the reaction from some of the other characters. But yeah, anyway, so pretty much this was not a review at all on Batman Assault on Arkham, but I really think you guys should check it out. These were just kind of thoughts that came about in my head as I was watching the movie. It was an awesome movie. I really enjoyed it. I do gotta say though, in the beginning of it, the first 10 minutes, I was feeling iffy about it. But as it picked up, as the Joker came into the story, I kind of got more into it. So it felt like it kind of progressed as it went on. Because at first I was kind of like I wasn't really sucked in as I have been on a lot of these other DC movies. But yeah, that's it. So check it out, guys, when you guys get a chance. It's on Redbox, so a little $2 rental isn't bad for Batman Assault on Arkham.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
Hey, guys, it's time for you to name that clip.
It cost me hours of work last night.
Then I'll get right to it. You have to go back into retirement. You're upsetting too many people.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you always have to be like this? You played right into their hands last time. When the parents' groups and the subcommittees came after us, you're the one they pointed to. You act like a criminal.
We are criminals, Clark. We always have been. You're still one, too. Only difference is you have a boss.
And you answer to no one. You know, we almost had this talk 10 years ago, when you wouldn't go along with the deal we made. Everyone else agreed. Diana went back to her people. Hal left the planet.
And Oliver, did he agree?
That's not how I wanted that to go.
He was all torn up about it, too.
He made it necessary. Like
I'm about to.
Do you even remember why you retired?
I remember.
Look, either shut it down or one of these days someone with authority is going to tell me to come stop you. And when that happens...
When that happens, may the best man win.
I have to go. We'll finish this later.
No hurry.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Remember, you could always go to facebook.com/the MGCM and leave me some feedback there. Let's talk about the episode. Talk about Ant-Man. Talk about Batman Assault on Arkham. What do you think about the movie? What are you thinking about the Ant-Man trailer? What do you think about the actors? Are you excited? Are you not excited? What are you looking forward to? I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good movie. Marvel is doing good stuff, so something to look forward to. I just hopefully the next trailer is more exciting. And also I wanted to mention, check out Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. That's the other podcast, comic book podcast, and we review. I go on there with Sarah and we review trades. We will be reviewing John Constantine Hellblazer Volume 1 Original Sins on the next episode. Look for that date on my page, or you could go over to facebook.com/MCCC and check out the schedule there, because we haven't recorded that episode, but we will be doing that soon and talking about other Constantine TV show, other comic book stuff. We all love talking about comic book stuff. So go make sure you go check out Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs, and just join us. And that, I think that we're going to start that podcast back up, and it's going to be once a month deal. I mean, I could talk about comic books every day if you want. If I had somebody to talk about comic books every day, that'd be awesome. I just love to learn about comics, characters, just good stories, read good stories. And so check out facebook.com/the MGCM, facebook.com/MCCC for all your comic book needs. And guys, thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. And see you guys on the next episode.